suddenly we're here. It's 11 o'clock. Tim Riley has nothing.
Liquid's dumped all over everything.
There's some kind of liquid all over your stool.
I hope it's not from Russia. I'll be right back.
That never gets old.
All right. I'm going to shut the door. Don't you worry about me.
Oh, for the love of God.
All right.
Fantastic.
Hello.
It's suddenly we're on the air. It's 1 minute and 10 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of November in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the fleshly. Tim Riley, clean your stool this instant.
I don't know what happened. No dirty stool in the studio.
stool is filthy.
All right.
You're right, that doesn't get old.
Why do we have to have the studio with stool in it? No, I guess it doesn't work because I'm dropping the article. All right. I love lamp.
And stool.
I love stool. It's going to be the best show ever. I already sent it.
Okay, now that we're settled in.
Settled being a relative term. Okay. Oh, man. Normally it takes like a good 15 minutes for us to get this giddy and out of control. It's 2 minutes. It still is November, right?
Yes.
Excellent. Yes, November.
Yes, okay. November, Lord, 2006. Hello. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We are here in the plushly appointed Stoolfield Studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. If you'd like to engage with us electronically for whatever reason, it is rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com. Fantastic. He's like, suddenly we were just on the air. The best part was watching Tim run in right now, his hands laden down with news materials and coffee. And you were sort of doing this, this Marty Feldman, young Frankenstein crouching sort of, you know, there, castle, kind of hustle.
She came in.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, everything's fine now.
Okay. That's your story, mister. All right. One more time today as we enter today's excursion into whimsicality. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Oh, my me. Or rick@rickemerson.com.
I just poured something into my coffee and wasn't sure if I could drink it. I took a little drink and then I decided to check the contents and I'm fine.
Long as it wasn't given to you by the Russians.
Pumpkin spice coffee mate.
It is so good. It tastes like the holidays.
It tastes just like the holidays.
It tastes just like the... You should sell them that slogan. All right. You know what tastes like the holidays? Do you ever do this? Do you ever walk outside and it smells for all the world like it's snowing? Am I the only one that thinks that snow has a smell?
No. I was talking to Carol about this.
Pointed like an angry finger at me. No!
Because she was looking at fish like, I can't tell if it's going to snow. And I said, it doesn't smell like snow.
See, but what is that we're even smelling?
I don't know. It's a smell, though.
Snow?
Living in Pullman, I got it.
Snow has a smell. Mm-hmm. It really does. And this is like, I used to have these arguments when I was a kid. I would talk to my mom and I would insist that water had a taste to it. And she used to tell me that I was retarded and to get back in the bedroom and shut up. But I always thought that water had a taste. And as I've aged, I realized it was probably not the water so much as it was minerals. Living in Kennewick, some sort of radioactive impurities that were filling our lungs. But it does seem like there is a snow smell. And for all the world, I can't identify exactly where it comes from or from whence it derives. We'll have to get the crack news staff, and by that I mean people out there who should be working on that. All right, it is 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Before we do anything further, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program.
Hold me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Our good friend Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
How are you? How are you today?
Hello.
Okay, you gotta stop it. It's becoming dangerously wacky only 6 minutes into today's broadcast. Have you noticed that Lisa Goddard, who I will not be speaking to today, sadly, have you noticed that Lisa Goddard does that? She does the... And I don't want to flash us back to about 6 months ago, but that's not the Mrs. Doubtfire hello that she does.
No, I think that's the Seinfeld one.
That's the Seinfeld belly button hello.
Now, see, yeah. I don't know. See, again, I don't know a lot of Seinfeld. So what is the Seinfeld... I feel like there's a gap in my pop culture knowledge. What is the Seinfeld belly button hello?
Seinfeld was dating a woman that, when they were lying together one night, he looked at her belly button, and he realized that it looked like a mouth, and he envisioned it saying, hello, whispering to him.
Have you thought about holding your mouth farther away from the phone?
No.
Okay. Well, never mind. Don't let me be the first to suggest it then. I just, there's a certain, there's a certain roughness to the way you speak. Am I the only one who hears this?
Why are you picking on Aaron?
I'm not picking on Aaron. I'm trying to be polite about this, but I, do you feel like when he speaks, there's a certain, the way that he talks and it.
I think he's just very excited.
He's an exuberant young lad.
Yes.
All right.
Full of vim and vigor.
Less so than moments ago. All right, so she does the Seinfeld hello as opposed to the Donna Mike, the Mrs. Doubtfire hello. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. I have all of this crap to get through, but before I can tell you anything else, I have to tell you this. We have found what became of PM Dawn. For everybody out there that was laboring under the illusion that they had just fallen off the face of the earth.
Can
not
we
so.
Listen to Set Adrift on Memory Bliss or whatever, however you say that.
I didn't bring it. Scotty's probably got it. The Scotty, you got some PM Dawn?
Yeah, he does.
You have to. You do like weddings and so forth in Tualatin. You gotta have some PM. You do. Fantastic.
Oh.
Do you have looking through patient eyes?
No.
Just see what he's got there. What do you have in the way of? Do you have something in a 42 long and PM Dawn? What might you have? You have Set Adrift and Memory Bliss? Okay, well, I would settle for that.
Do you have Feelings by Morris Albert?
Do you have Prince Albert in a can? Moving forward, we found out. Yes, what?
Nothing, go ahead.
Oh. Okay.
That's right. It was a bad joke.
You know, don't mind me. Anywho, so we found out what became of PM Dawn, and he's more interesting and relatable than you could possibly imagine. It is Relatable Thursday today, so we'll be doing some relatable discussion of PM Dawn. What else? Scotty moves ever forward to impersonating the Oscar Mayer Wiener kid outside of Safeway for no real reason. Could Britney's...
You got to send him to Psycho Safeway on Jefferson and 11th.
Is that one Psycho?
Yes.
Yeah, Psycho Safeway. It's the best Safeway in town.
Why? What's wrong with the one on... I thought that was an upscale Safeway, relatively speaking.
You know, you can put the... I'm still come by at night.
Oh, they sent me to that one back in the days of they. Well, the correct promotional staff of KWJJ back in its day sent me there to collect toys for tots, but thankfully they put me with someone from the Marines.
Now, Jefferson and 11, that's not a bad place, is it?
Yes.
Isn't that right by... I thought it was all gentrified.
No, I mean, it's not by a bad place, but it's by, you know, it's by like the YWCA housing and outside in. Nothing was bad, but it's definitely, there's nothing better than shopping at 2 a.m. at Psycho Safeway.
Oh, well, okay, well, there you go. I thought, I thought that whole area had just been given a good you know, banana republican.
Only when the sun's up.
Well, here's the... at night, the whole place is crawling with vampires.
That's right. At night, it turns into the Lost Boys.
At night, it's the Bronze. Yeah. we're such losers. Okay. Well, you know, because Safeway, and not to get sidetracked by the Safeway discussion, but, you know, Safeway, is they're doing an entire nationwide remodeling of every single Safeway store. This is absolutely true.
Yeah.
This is not a setup for a joke. They're trying to make them a little more upscale. Because Safeways, and I say this with not with love, but I'm just saying, this is a fact. Now, we used to shop at Safeway all the time when I was a kid. That was my mom's, like, go-to store. You don't have those back east, though, do you, Tim?
No.
What do you have back east? What is your Safeway back east?
Stop and Shop, and then we have...
do you have a Piggly Wiggly?
Basket? No. We did. We did have a Piggly Wiggly.
Oh, fantastic.
Demoulas?
How much I'd love to shop at a Piggly Wiggly. Just to be able to say, I'll be back. I have to go to the Piggly Wiggly. Which sort of sounds like you're going to Wiz somewhere. And then, of course, in California, they have Ralph's. But here, they're... Here there is.
California has Vons. That's the Safeway.
Vons. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well
one time they did have Safeway, but Vons bought up Safeway and closed them all down.
Welcome to the Colonel Tom Parker Show. And then in Utah they have Smith's. Smith, because everybody in Utah is either Smith or Brigham Young's like nephew or something. So. Anyway, so they're remodeling all the Safeways one by one. The great thing is, I don't care what they do as long as they keep stocking Laughing Cow cheese. As long as they have Laughing Cow cheese at Safeway, they can do whatever they want. At only 30 calories a wedge, Laughing Cow cheese is an economic and tasty cheese solution for you and your loved ones.
They have all three kinds.
You've got a whole wheel of Laughing Cow cheese.
I bought it today. They have Original Swiss. They have Original Swiss Light, which I bought, and they also have the Garlic and Herb Light.
Dean, why don't you just retro bill them for this, by the way? Just call the Laughing Cow people.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Yes, I bought crackers and cheese.
You brought a whole wheel of cheese with you.
Oh, this is very... I'll be able to finish this.
Is there any more delightful phrase than wheel of cheese? I'm sorry, what?
You get the bag of mini discs that you can unravel.
No. What? No. Oh, you're talking about the mesh plastic bag of mini wheels of cheese that you can peel
those.
Individually.
Those are baby
loaves.
Bell?
Baby like,
Bell.
They're like baby loaves of cheese.
Mm. Was that a move?
It really was. Okay.
Baby loaves.
Anyway, so Scotty's going to sit outside of Safeway at some point and pretend to be the Oscar Mayer kid. Just because, you know, why not? Could Britney's exposed area be putting you and your family at risk? We'll find out later on. And Sarah Dillon has the single worst news tease in the history of broadcast news. That she called me. It was so bad that you actually called. Sarah called my phone last night and left me a voicemail message. Saying, I just saw the very worst thing on the CW. It's the worst news tease I've ever seen in my life. Call me back now. Okay, thanks, bye. And that was it.
What channel is the CW?
You know, I honestly don't know.
Oh, is that 31.2?
It was channel 3. I couldn't figure out what news tease
is that
was.
Where Dennis is? Is that where the fuel show is?
Is he?
I don't know. Well, whatever.
Maybe.
I guess. Blah, blah, blah. Lisa Goddard shuns me today, and I get to talk to. I mean, I get to. You know, I am privileged enough to speak to Bob Costantini.
Oh, boy.
Human fireball! So we'll talk to Bob Costantini.
That light is blinding,
are we
by
off the
way.
Air?
I believe that's a fire drill.
Would you, no?
No, well, I think that's the hotline.
Is there a fire?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, my God, don't look straight at it.
Are we opening a Macy's in here?
I thought that was the hotline. Is that fire?
I believe that's fire, yeah. See, it says fire on there. F-I-R-E, fire.
Oh, and I keep looking at it.
You don't think so. They don't think there's a fire.
Why is that in here?
The fire light is blinking. Take it down. It's bothering me.
The fire light in here is... Mr.
It's
Riley
blinding us.
Please have this removed. Mr. Riley is not to be disturbed.
Oh, my...
Well, if there's going to be a fire, then let there be a fire.
Let me describe what's happening here, because this show has descended into chaos. Directly,
that light has never gone...
Pointed, look at you.
Pointed... I can't even look at you, man! Pointed right at Sarah's face... Is a strobe light in the studio.
Like, turn off the light.
It's like
we'll
disco.
Get it all.
Hold on. Yeah, I was just saying, I'm going to turn off the lights.
We'll get it all disco.
Play some Donna Summer. Oh, this is fantastic.
Scotty, do you have any disco?
I have turned off the lights in the studio. Let me describe what's happening. There is a strobe light on
blinking
the wall
fire.
Of the studio that
fire.
Is a fire light
fire.
That goes off
fire.
Whenever there's a fire. It has now gone off.
It stopped.
Okay, well, this is a bit that was ruined. I was going to leave the lights off, and we were just going to have the strobe, and then we were going to play a lot of rave in here.
Darn it.
See, it's off. It stopped blinking. All right, thanks. Johnny on the spot.
Oh, no, there it goes again.
There it goes again.
All right.
I guess.
Now it's back on again.
We'll hear in the dark.
Alarm. All right, so I have turned off the studio lights, plunging us into darkness.
Fire.
You're so creepy. Why are we sitting in here? In
because now it's like we're inside a rave. So
well,
now the
it is. This is like the total rave scene in a movie where someone's going to get murdered.
I wish
this girl's been drugged.
I wish to have a glow stick.
This is FM radio during the late 70s.
Seriously. This is when. I'm sorry. Oh, hello, Aaron. I forgot you were there.
I forgot you were there.
No, there's... So the lights... I have turned off all the lights in the studio because the fire light is going off. And again, it's a strobe light, and it's blaring right into Sarah's eyes. So every time she looks at me, there's a strobe light. You know what it is? You're totally right. This is like Kink in 1978.
Yeah.
This is like when
there's
Dennis Constantine was...
Do you think it'll be a hit?
Dennis was on the air like, mellowing out on the smooth groove of the new Pink Floyd. This is Animals. Relax. And let the music paint the colors on your mind. Dennis Constantine. That's totally what this was. And now the light's off again.
Darn it.
Is there a fire or is there not a fire?
We want a fire.
Yes, we demand a fire now.
Die in a fire. Oh.
Hello, Aaron. I forgot
you
were there.
Did you say die in a fire?
No.
Why would you? What? What a terrible thing
horrible.
To say.
Horrible.
Best show ever. All right. Well, there you go. So, were you able to keep track of all that I have teased?
Yeah, we got it all. And you're at 58. I think it's fine.
we're just teasing this.
If it burns the ground, I say the push-ups are here.
Yeah, there's no fire. We're just teasing. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, for everyone else up on the 31st floor, there's no fire. We're only teasing.
Well, no, we'll be able to make it out of here and grab some Quiznos to boot on the way out. Everybody above us will die.
That. Yeah.
You can even survive a leap out the window from you guys.
Oh, that's... If I could jump out and get myself a bad sprain, everybody above us is doomed.
We don't have a window.
Yeah, window? We have no window. All right. Okay. Well, there you go. I don't even know what we've accomplished here, but thank you.
Sure.
God bless you, sir. Aaron, Geek in the City, Duran.
So if this was an actual fire, wouldn't somebody come over some PA system and say, please evacuate this building?
Yeah,
please
we don't have a PA over here either.
Oh, yeah.
We can't hear anything
so
in here.
We
do have Scotty J.
Everybody else could, like he would rescue us. Scotty'd already be outside, you know. He'd already be outside. You know, he's on the phone with KXL trying to get a job over there. Okay. Hey, Sarah's here.
Hi.
You already knew that, though. Tim Riley's working. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to tell you.
I'm sorry. Don't speak.
My friend Lisa and I are planning a trip to L.A. We're going to go there for a weekend.
Where are you going to stay?
Well, Brad called me last night. He was hanging out at the Chateau Marmont.
Oh, lovey-da.
And he was in there with Kirsten Dunst.
Really?
Kirsten Dunst is there, and Christopher Lloyd.
When you say he was in there, do you mean he was in there?
Oh, he was in. And so I was talking to him, and he said that if we go to L.A., he might be able to hook Lisa and I up with a trip to the Playboy Mansion.
Sweet. How unfair is that?
It's unfair.
And Brad, you son of a bitch.
Life's unfair.
Off my Christmas list.
And he might be able to get us a car, like a convertible to drive around in.
Okay, you got
to
see. That'll be stolen.
The light.
Now the fire light is going off again.
This is the third alarm.
It's a three-alarm fire, apparently.
So anyway, that's it. I know that you're a big fan of L.A., so I wanted to tell you I'm planning my first trip.
I am. How wrong is it that you would get to go to the Playboy Mansion, though? I mean,
how
I'm happy.
How beautiful is that?
No, I'm happy for you, but come on. How fair is that? Don't they star the amour, Brad? Fine, whatever. Well, that's cool. You're more of an L.A. person than I am anyway. I don't like L.A.
I've never seen it, so I want to be
it's
able to...
It's a terrible place. Yeah. I mean, not
it's
like...
It's a hideous place.
It is. It's awful. And now, granted, I speak as a person. I did not live there. But having spent a lot of time there over the past few years, I spent some time there growing up, and then, of course, I lived in San Diego for a while, and L.A. is just... I've never lived there, but I would never want to live there.
There's no city there.
There is no city, there is no soul, it's just ugliness and grime and grit and dirt and silicone.
What was the name of the place that you stayed at, the one that you said that you think I'd like?
God, now I don't remember. It had a real sort of one of those names that you can tell it's fancy because it's really plain. You know, like hotel,
was
you know,
it,
or something.
Was it Grafton on Sunset?
No, it wasn't. It was the something. It was like the Regulation or the Regular, something like that. It was a name that was sort of deliberately low-key. It was like, you know, the something.
You will find you'll keep driving around looking for a city and never find it. It's because one does not exist.
Yeah, there is no city. That's the thing is, it's like one big, L.A. is one big suburban sprawl that just goes on and on and on forever. And the really frustrating thing about L.A. is there's so much stuff there that kind of is the center of American culture, so you do have to go there sometimes. And then it's near, I mean relatively near, some places that are actually really great. You know what I mean?
And there's no place to park to get out and see them.
There's no, that's it. So you can just drive around and go.
We'll be towed away or
look,
stolen.
There's a place we can go, and that's gone now. You know, I mean, so as you're driving by Man's Chinese Theater, you can sort of point and go, hey, there, okay. Hey, kids, you seeing all this culture, kids? You know, that's it. So... and I can find out tonight from Lara what our hotel was. I forget, but you know the shtick of our hotel was kind of cool. Was that it was designed? The motif was those "Hi, my name is" badges, and so like outside every room on the wall it would be a "Hello, my name is" like room 515. Hello, my name is like jacuzzi room.
She's opening the cheese.
So it was.
We are all crazy today.
No, it's the best show ever already. The thing is that Britney's area is putting you at risk. And we're going to talk about that later. Tim Riley's working on the following story for your edification today.
Well, Debbie agrees to a speedy takeover of Iraq even after his public saber-rattling. And now, Russia's ex-prime minister has a mysterious illness. This after five U.K. sites have been found contaminated by that now-dead Russian killed by radiation.
We're all going
to
die.
Ice cream obituary. We'll get to the bottom of this. We heard either Poggett or Dawes is dead.
We're on the job, as always.
Oh, we're Susan, not sure which one.
Susan Reynolds, who... You know, Susan Reynolds... Here's the thing about Susan Reynolds. She is really astonishingly hip. And when I say astonishingly, it's not that she doesn't seem hip. But, you know, you sort of figure some marketing director, you know, it's not a good job to have. But marketing director, you'd think of a guy, like, in a tie with some sort of a slide rule sitting, you know, like, in front of a pie chart in, like, a windowless office somewhere. But Susan really, as the kids say, Susan Reynolds has it going on. She is the marketing guru for CBS Radio Portland. She, of course, immediately knew it. The Standard. That is the hotel. The Standard. Hotel in L.A., very hip with a plain name. And every night...
That's the one downtown.
Does it have a rooftop pool?
It is. That's where I sent you the photos from.
I remember. I was so jealous.
Here's a couple things you need to know about the Standard.
It's downtown away from all the touristy stuff. Because nobody goes downtown except for, well, crackheads.
And it's right by
the... Is it near the clubs and stuff that I want to go to?
No. The clubs are on the strip.
Yeah, but it's you don't want a hotel on the strip necessarily anyway. I mean, unless you just want to stagger home. Although you could. There's a place called the Farmer's Daughter.
Yep.
On the strip.
That's always booked up.
Yeah. I mean, are you
Price of Right contestants?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the Midwest.
Yeah.
That's why they call it the farmer's daughter.
So there's that. The cool thing about the Standard where I stayed is it's right in the middle of a bunch of skyscrapers. That's the cool thing. It's a tall building. I mean, skyscrapers are a relative term in L.A. because it's not like a New York skyscraper. But it's a tall building in the midst of a bunch of other tall buildings. And so I don't know if this is an every night thing, but when we were, this was the hotel that had the glass shower in the middle of the room.
With no shower curtain.
That's what I'm saying, no shower curtain, mm-hmm. And you're showering inside basically a hyperbaric, you're showering inside Michael Jackson's oxygen tank. You're showering inside of a big square cube in the middle of the room with no shower curtain, which again is, you know, it's just a little awkward depending on who you
are. It's enough to ruin anybody's vacation, well, really, unless you're one of the beautiful people.
And again, it has nothing mm-hmm. to do, it's like, I don't care, you know, whatever, single, married, whether you're there with Lisa, a friend, whoever, you don't want everybody to necessarily see you soaping your area. You know what I mean? That's not a thing you want everybody to see. So it's just a little awkward. But maybe I'm just not as continental as some. But I don't know whether this happens all the time, but that night when Laura and I were there, which was just, I think it was like on a Thursday or something, we went up to the top of the room, and I mentioned the story. I sent you the photographs of it. Because they go to the front desk, they're like, oh, well, thank you for staying here. If you'd like a free massage and a facial, come over to the blah, blah, blah. By the way, there's a party on the roof tonight at 9. And I was like, well, all right. So Laura insisted that we go up. And it was totally just like that photo I sent you, the picture. It was like a scene out of Entourage. Swimming pool on the roof of the hotel, all lit up blue, and then like a guy, you know, like walking around with champagne, you know, with like a martini glasses, like on a tray. And then the best thing is it was right next to another really tall building, and they had their own rooftop party going on. Our party was hip-hop themed, so it was like lots of money. It was like 50 Cent or whatever. But then the building directly across from us, which is so weird, it's like looking over the fence into somebody's backyard, except you're both like 50 stories off the ground. And they're like, you know, across the way. But you get the feeling that you could just, like, toss a lime over to them if they needed it. They were doing an all Smiths mix set. So it was like 50 Cent on our roof. Yeah, Smiths across the way, but then the two sounds were sort of echoing off it. It was just the weirdest, most... But it's moments like that where you realize, if you're me, just how lame you really are. Because as I noted, my whole thing for that night was I had chili cheese fries from Tommy's. And they were... So we're up on the hotel roof. Lara has got the martini in one hand. You know, she's, you know, whatever. She's, like, holding her camera in the other and taking some photos at the top of this. And it's like you can see all of the Chase building is right down there. And it looks all glamorous and gorgeous.
They had to get about a half dozen skyscrapers downtown.
And I'm totally looking at my watch going, maybe the cheese is congealing on my Tommy's fries. Can we please go back to the room and watch that Dane Cook special? So that's me. But you really, you will have a great time there if you're going. And the Playboy Mansion, you damn woman.
I don't know for sure, but I asked Brad if he'd be able to get me in anywhere, and he's like, well, probably the Playboy Mansion.
Swear to God, Brad.
It's like the one place I'm like, come on, get me into, you know, Hyde or, you know, some other place.
Why? You know.
So not only, you know, is it the Playboy Mansion, it's, you know, like fifth down on the list of places that I actually like to go.
Where would you want to go in L.A.? We're so late, I don't even care. Why? Where would you want to go in L.A.?
I don't know. I don't know L.A.
Tim?
Some crazy night spot.
If you right now, you list off the top of your head where Sarah should go now. The whiskey, yeah, whiskey. Just because of the rock culture, the legend there, the rainbow, for the same reason, probably. And those are right, you know, those are all right there.
House of Blues, maybe?
Yeah, you don't want to go
there. It's touristy.
You should go see that Forever Hollywood Cemetery, though.
Oh, that is good.
Oh, yeah,
where it's
yeah.
like the Johnny Ramone statue and Dee Dee Ramone and Jane Mansfield.
Yep.
Yeah, Jane Mansfield is buried there and whatever. All right. And okay.
Trying to think of anything. Place
now, I think I was trying to think if there was something else we needed to get done in the segment, but it doesn't matter because we're so unbelievably late.
It was because of the fire.
Stupid fire. I can't believe Aaron said die in a fire. And by the way, and I'll get to this hopefully later, I have the best and worst interview offer ever. Not an offer to interview me, of course, but this is somebody else asking us if we'd like to interview. See if you can. Let's test how long Sarah has been in radio. Tim will probably identify this. This is from Pam, and subject to Rick Emerson, interview opportunity. Can you please pass this on to your morning show producer, Rick? Yes, I'll be sure to do that. Blank, who sold over 10 million copies of the unlikely hit Blank, is available for telephone interviews this month, Sarah. Now, even you, as pop culture deficient as you sometimes are, Tim probably already knows this. Do you know? Blank, who sold over 10 million copies of the unlikely hit song, Blank, is available for telephone interviews this month. Blank is a delightful, spontaneous, and funny interview subject. As one of the most popular guests, he has appeared on hundreds of radio shows. Schedule an interview with Blank for a segment on your show today. Anything?
Nothing.
Okay, I'll let you think on it.
Is it holiday themed? Did he do a holiday song?
Yes.
Okay.
That is all that is all you know and all you
Tim's
need.
Tim's eyes just lit
up. Tim got it. I'm surprised it took this long. Tim totally has it.
Do I know who this person is?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what this person...
Song?
Yeah, you know from whence this person derives. You know why this person is famous. We'll give you the answer after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Bob is late. Why?
Because he has another hit right at the bottom of the hour.
Fine.
Well, I scheduled him. I always schedule him for 35, so he's not late.
Because we always get distracted by a fire happening in the building.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's no fire. Apparently, they're testing something. Here's the really disconcerting thing, by the way, about the firelight going on when there is no fire, is because then it seems like the corollary is also, or corollary, as the British say, is also true, which is that someday when there is a fire, the light will just not go on. So,
or it'll go on and we'll ignore it because we'll think they're testing it.
Seriously, don't worry about it. Does it seem like my mic processing sounds extra crisp today? I'm especially happy with the sound of my microphone on this Thursday.
Good.
All right, what do we got here?
Listen. Tim's is still hissing, though.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can hear that. I think it's a thing that only you and I can hear.
All right.
Let's see. Rick, too bad my brother was still living in the apartment I had when I lived in L.A., but just closed it up. Sarah could have stayed in West Hollywood, one block off Santa Monica Boulevard, minutes from the Strip for free.
Damn it.
Just moved everything out 2 weeks ago. All right, well, sorry. Let's see.
I just want to be in a place where we can go out and drink to our heart's content and not have to drive anywhere.
Well, that'd be there. That'd be where Kristen's talking about.
Okay.
Let's see. And driving there just sucks anyway. Driving is just the worst. It's just ass trying to get anywhere there. Rick, don't you feel safe knowing that in case there is a fire, a blinding light will come on to make sure your eyes are... This is totally true. A blinding light will come on to make sure your eyes are completely useless to find your way out. Good luck. Best show ever. Steve. What else here? That light is for handicapped people, by the way, so they know to get out. If the audio is turned off at the studio, this is your warning. You are about to die. Thank you. All right. Let's see. And all right. So we'll talk to Bob here in a few. Yeah, we'll talk to Bob. All right, Sarah Dillon.
You should give him a hard time about being late. Make him really uncomfortable.
Totally. I should tell him we're going to shun him. When we last left the Rick Emerson radio program, we had this question. Sarah Dillon, can you identify this musical artist?
I haven't been thinking.
I got this in my email this morning. This is from Pam Blah Blah Blah, who is a guest booker. Can you please pass this along to your morning show producer? Blank, who sold over 10 million copies of the unlikely hit Blank, will be available for telephone interviews this month. Blank is a delightful, spontaneous, and funny interview subject. As one of the most popular guests on radio programs, Blank has appeared on hundreds of radio shows. Schedule an interview with Blank for a segment on your show today, won't you please? Thank you, Pam Blah 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 from the record company. Okay, you were correct.
I'm trying to think of songs. I don't know. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Yes!
Oh, really?
Yes! Dr. Elmo, who sold over $10 million copies of the unlikely hit Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, will be... Thank God bless us, everyone. Will be available for...
Did he sing it?
I don't really know.
The whole Hugh Grant and About a Boy thing?
What is that? Santa's Rocket Sled or whatever the hell it is?
Santa's Super Sleigh.
I don't really know the answer to that, actually. I don't really know.
It'd be humorous if he came on and sang, but if he just...
See, the thing about interviewing Dr. Elmo, first of all, I'm unclear about whether Dr. Elmo actually sings the song or not. I suspect that this might be... Really, I shudder to even ask this question. I hesitate because then it's going to turn into a whole thing where people are calling in with more information about Elmo and Patsy than I ever could have possibly wanted. But Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is credited to Elmo and Patsy. I'm unclear about who Elmo is and who Patsy is and what their respective roles were. I'm further unclear about whether this is a thing I'd even want to do as an interview. I mean,
I don't think so.
Is there any... I just don't even know if there's any comedic grist or potential here at all. Or is... I mean... Do you know what I mean? It's like, has the song become so ridiculous and so retarded that interviewing... in other words, has it become larger than itself? Has it become such a big piece of pop culture that it's worth interviewing just for that?
We should ask Tim. That seems like a Tim question.
I don't know. Tim Riley, when you have a moment, if you could join us in the studio, and then we'll get some of these here, and we've got an answer about the PM Dawn thing. Then we'll talk to Bob Costantini, and we've got the News Hour and the so forth. Anyway, so the offer is there. This is, let's see, hello, Marianne, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Well, Sarah totally took my thunder. I was going to call and say that's what it was. Here's the thing, though, is that guy has got to be like the one-man Star Wars guy where he hates his life.
Totally.
He never talks to him about.
That's, I mean, but I wonder, you know, is this a thing that he makes money on? This is actually the stuff that I'd want to ask him, so maybe I should book him. Because I wonder...
Why don't you write the booker and ask if you can ask that stuff?
I'm not, well, no, you know, no, because if you ask, they always say no.
Well, then it's going to be awkward, and you won't want to talk about it, and then...
I don't care. What do I care if Dr. Elmo's going to... I'm going to be on his enemies list. I won't get Christmas cards from Dr. Elmo. There are people that I don't want to offend in this life. The guy who sang... I don't even know that he sang it. Marianne, do you know what role Dr. Elmo played in the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer song?
I have no idea. That song has not been funny since I was 11 years old.
It was never funny. It wasn't even funny to me when I was 10. I never found it. It skipped right over. Interesting. You know, Lycus did that thing. God, was it Lycus? Because Lycus did a thing where he had a steamroller and he drove over a bunch of Cat Stevens records. Years ago, because it's when Cat Stevens was calling for the death of Salman Rushdie. Lycus did this whole thing of driving over a bunch of Cat Stevens records with a steamroller, which is pretty funny. But somebody, maybe many somebodies, because there's only like two or three interesting ideas, and morning shows all over the country just share them until they're no longer amusing or funny in any way. See Battle of the Sexes et al.
Yes.
But somebody did a thing where they ran over or destroyed or otherwise demolished, Steve Dahl style, a bunch of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer records.
Well, see, that's the thing. If you interview him, are you going to have to play that abysmal song?
Well, probably, but I mean, that's fine. And I mean, so, but I do want to know. Here's the things I want to know, and then we'll talk to Bob Costantini. Here's the things I want to know about the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer guy. Tim Riley?
They are a comedy duo.
But see, they
were a comedy duo.
Falling out.
Is Patty dead?
Patsy.
That's what I think.
I have no information regarding any deaths.
Was there any sort of, was this like a Gallagher 2 thing, do you suppose, where they split off and went their separate ways? And like
I guess you have to interview them.
It's like a Martin and Lewis thing?
But that song is 22 years old.
Oh, God damn. Imagine that guy, though. Do you think that, like, he has to structure all of his major purchases around December every year? Do you suppose, like, well, I need some new siding for the house. I guess I have to wait till Christmas. Just because, I mean... And can he possibly be making any money on that song at this point?
Possibly. But I've searched biographies everywhere, and there's only one sentence about them. There are one sentence.
Elmo and Patsy are cursed by all people everywhere.
They were a duo who recorded the single in 1984. That's all the information that's available.
See, the thing is, against my better judgment, I kind of want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No, you don't.
You must interview.
I just wasn't trying to talk me out of it.
Maybe you do. I don't think anybody else does.
I kind of do. We'll do an Insta poll here in a second. Marianne, this is Marianne Rambo, right?
Yes.
God bless you. Somebody dropped off a gospel album to me a while back that was, I swear to God, the Singing Rambos. So, all right.
I don't even know those people, I promise.
Thank you, Marianne.
Bye.
There you go. Marianne Rambo, ladies and gentlemen. Best name ever. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now from the Hill, Bob Noodles Costantini on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
I'm full of life, Bob. How are you? I'm happy to be alive.
Life as well.
I'm full of vim, vigor, vitality, excitement, and enthusiasm for radio broadcasts.
Did you catch him throw in your nickname, Bob, when he threw that in?
Yes, he did throw in the nickname there. I
I'm probably going to regret having mentioned that, but that's okay.
No, no, no. Rick Emerson would treat you with respect at all times, Bob. Rick Emerson would never take advantage of that. I do believe it's time that you branch out and you get your own theme, though. We're going to create a new theme song for you. I think it's enough. I think it's long enough, you know, that you sort of live in the stiletto-heeled shadow of Lisa Goddard. I believe it is time for Bob Costantini to be his own man on this program.
It's almost been a year now.
Has it?
Yes.
Bob, it seems like just yesterday that we met.
Yes.
Do you have a request for your introductory theme music, Bob Costantini?
Fanfare for the Common Man would be fine.
Really?
Yes.
Scotty J, do you have fanfare? We're not going to use the popcorn song. The popcorn song by Hot Butter? No, thank you. Thank you, no.
Oh, I love that song.
Boop, 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 boop. No, that's the Cantina song.
Oh, wait. I can't...
How does the popcorn song go, Bob?
I honestly don't know. I'm not sure.
I just had it in my head and you erased it with your asinine.
I was trying to sing the popcorn song, but all I can sing is the Star Wars Cantina song.
Okay.
Please not to be calling up and singing the popcorn song for us so that I can get the Cantina song out of my head.
All right.
All right, fanfare for the Common Man, though. Okay, I'll look into it. Not the Emerson, Lake, and Palmer version, but that's Aaron Copland, right?
Yeah, yes. That's fine with me.
All right. Is this whole conversation making you uncomfortable, Bob?
I should sit down and think about it, I suppose.
All right. Hey. All right. How's life at CNN? How are things? How's that new guy, Matt, working out at CNN? Have you had to deal with Matt yet?
He's just fine.
He's just fine? Let me ask you this.
Fine.
If you were to rank the CNN guest bookers in terms of pleasant personality and jocularity, how would you rank them?
Well, I deal with them mostly through... Through top-line messages, as we say, which is like a form of instant message.
Oh, I see. So you don't have long phone conversations with Laura Caviezel about her engagement.
No, we don't talk at length, which is, you know, unfortunate in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Just one of those things that, you know, the modern communications realm, we top-line each other, as we say.
I have to say, you are really, I have to give props to you, my friends, as the kids say, because I toss some really uncomfortable questions at you, and you just are jujitsu with those. You just deflect them with skill, grace, and efficacy.
I've learned in 26 years of broadcasting, first off, when you're live, be prepared for just about any questions somebody might throw at you.
Excellent. Well, we'll do a pop quiz or something later here. let me ask you about this report, and this is, I don't even know why... Let me rephrase. I know why it's news, but by the same token, it does seem like it's, I don't mean to sound futile or nihilistic or whatever, but there's this Iraq study group will recommend, I'm reading now from the CNN prep sheet, says that they are recommending that a, quote, gradual but meaningful, end quote, reduction of U.S. troops begin relatively early in the new year, and the plan be immediately communicated to Iraq's prime minister, a source familiar with the group's deliberations. First of all, the Iraq Study Group, is that one of those, like, centers for science and the public interest, or just some, like, fictitious group that only exists for press releases, or are they a real group of people somewhere?
Well, it is a real group of people, of course, and it was created by Congress, specifically by Congress, to look into the Iraq situation, which allows the White House, I guess, some hands-off kind of distance. It is headed by James Baker, who was... Secretary of State under the first President Bush, and also by former Representative Lee Hamilton of Indiana, who's widely respected on international issues. He was also a co-chairman of the 9/11 Commission.
What?
So they're going to be coming up with this report, and basically they will be doing, in a lot of ways, what Congress wanted them to do, come up with some suggestions, whether or not the White House really takes them all to heart is up in the air.
Well, it's sort of significant that that James Baker, the third of JB3, as they sometimes call him, that he, not that he wrote it himself, but it's significant that a group headed by him would be saying that we ought to get out of Iraq because he's nobody's idea of a dove on these sort of things.
No, and I think what we need to look at with this is if you read between all of these various lines, when they suggest that there should be a gradual withdrawal, but it starts early next year. The idea of starting early next year is the one thing that the president will not abide, I believe, in all of this. And he indicated that again today at his news conference with the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki in Jordan. He basically said this business about a graceful exit just simply has no realism at all to it. Those are his words. So when you start talking about exiting early next year, I think the administration is more than likely going to reject that notion.
When there's this great quote from George W. Bush.
It smacks of a timetable. Forgive me for interrupting.
Yeah, no, not at all. There's this great quote from George W. Bush, and by great, I mean ridiculous, especially if you are the Prime Minister of Iraq. George Bush says, they need to take the reins, the Prime Minister and the Iraqis, need to take the reins and, quote, get the job done, instead of setting a strict timetable. I mean, what? I don't mean to be flip about this, but I mean, is George Bush just sort of going in there and telling the Iraqi Prime Minister, look, you need to get the job done and make sure that things are smooth, but really giving them no idea of what that even means?
What the president did today, or what the president specifically said today, was that he wants to speed up the training of Iraqi forces so that they can, as you put it, get the job done. This is one of the things that, you know, he's been, you know, saying he wants to have happen. And a lot of people have said, we've got to make this, you know, go a lot faster to get the Iraqis to do their own security work. But it, you know, the president basically said that, you know, we're going to try to speed it up, but would not, you know, again, and that's the important point, would not agree to any kind of real time frame. I'm sure the president, and just as everybody else, would love to have U.S. forces out of Iraq very quickly. But Mr. Bush is not willing, it seems, to go along with the idea of early next year.
Here's a speculative question. Again, this is just a speculative question. And then I've got a little surprise for you. Is this business of trying to hand over everything that's in Iraq to the Iraqi forces themselves, the Iraqi forces who it seems they're going to have to take some time off from their moonlight jobs as death squads to sort of be putting the country back together? But is this just because, not to put too fine a point on it, because we're just going to run out of soldiers to send over there?
Well, the administration, of course, would not agree with that kind of assessment.
Well, no, of course not.
But needless to say, the Pentagon is feeling the pinch, if you will, in terms of, re-upping duties and that kind of thing, and pulling another tour in Iraq, that kind of thing. So we're going to be debating that for some time to come about whether or not, you know, when are the Iraqi forces going to be ready?
Right.
We're going to hear so much about this and much more. And also what we're going to hear from this commission, from what I now understand, is they are going to suggest that, Iran and Syria do get directly involved in trying to bring some stability to Iraq, which is another one of the things that the president has declined to really consider in the past.
All right. So we can go out on a note here that's not just completely defeated and depressing. Mike, hello, sir.
Hello, Rick.
Hi there, Mike. Have you got a surprise for Bob Costantini?
Yes, I believe that I do.
All right.
All right. Doop, 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 doop. There.
Thank you, sir. The popcorn song by Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Indeed, you're great.
Excellent. There you go. That's so. That's surprise. And just let me just so we can take you out in style here. Go, Bob Costantini.
Very nice, but you realize, of course, it may be a little too long before we...
Well, you know, all things in time. We're working under pressure here.
Thank you for the common man. I appreciate that. I'm as common as they come.
Hey, you know, the Rick Emerson Show cares, Bob Costantini. Right. Never let it be said otherwise.
Rick, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk to you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Costantini goes into the D.C. night.
That guy hates you.
Come on, I got this song for you,
man,
in like 10 seconds.
He hates you so much.
He asked for fanfare for the common man. I'm instant messaging Scotty J. I'm like, find me Aaron Copland, fanfare for the common man. He gets me, like 30 seconds later, I've got the goddamn song for him. He better
and
not hate
so
me.
He's so not appreciative. It's way too long, Rick.
Fine. Screw that guy. You know what? Fine. It doesn't... never mind. Then that's no longer... If he really hates me for that, then I'm not going to... This is it.
Yay!
From now on.
I want to listen to the girl who's spinning the little thing.
Oh, he should the leak song. There should be some mashup of the popcorn song, the cantina song, and the leak spinning girl. Hey, we need that rave light back on.
Let's start a fire.
Let's not start a fire. Let's start a fiery broadcast of, shut up, I'm doing the best I can. All right. Hello. What was that liner we were going to get cut a couple weeks ago? The Rick Emerson Show. So edgy, so gay.
Gay dance music.
This is going to be our new Pope watch. Oh, we got Pope news, by the way. Just when you thought the Pope couldn't get any more gay, and by gay, I mean gay. You have no idea. We'll have exciting Pope news coming up in the noon hour. We'll do an Insta poll about this Elmo and Patsy business here in a while. What else? What else do we have? We'll be speaking with Ed McCarthy. Roop took the wrong... He picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines and work. Because he's gone this week. There's some creature went crazy at SeaWorld. Tried to kill a guy. It's fantastic. And he's not there to cover it. We got that coming up. Could Britney's exposed area be putting you at risk? And the worst news tease ever for falling snow. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.